You're listening to The Profile.
Welcome to The Profile podcast. God calls us to use our influence to share his love and goodness. For some, this is in leadership. I'm Andy Peck, and for the past 19 years, I've been interviewing Christians to find out how to lead better. Taking the initiative isn't always easy, so I hope you'll benefit from this latest conversation. The Profile podcast is brought to you by Premier Christianity magazine. Subscribe today and get full online access and the print magazine every month at premierchristianity.com.
You will no doubt be familiar with the importance of seeing all of our lives as part of our worship. Your activity worshiping in church or time in daily devotions is no more important to God than your work in employment, running a home, walking the dog. But moving from theory to practice isn't always easy, and especially for business leaders who may be keen to minister to staff and customers, but don't know how. So this week, I'm delighted to be joined on the Leadership Show by Mike Sharrow, who is CEO of a business that helps equip business leaders. It's called C12. It's been going 3 decades, and Mike joins me from his base in San Antonio, Texas. And it's a timely conversation with C12 planning to branch out into the UK. So welcome, Mike, to the Leadership Show.
Andy, thank you. It's my pleasure.
So tell me about C12, the vision for C12, how it all came about.
Yeah, it got started in the early 90s by a bunch of business owners that knew each other. They were all super involved in their community. They were involved in mission committees and nonprofit projects. They were in Bible studies, but they were also running businesses, and they were in coaching programs and business, peer groups. And one of them started saying, man, at some point you can only be in so many things and time is so limited. I wish I could combine, like, how do I grow my business and deal with issues being a CEO or an entrepreneur, but do it with a biblical worldview, but also be with people who are thinking about how to use our businesses to impact the world and how to impact our city, and would challenge and hold me accountable in the midst of that to be a faithful Christian as I do all those things. I wish there could be one group that all came together and say, found a guy, and they went, you should do it. You should lead what they're going to call it, a Christian 12 group. That's why it's called C12. It's just 12 Christians who run businesses, who would meet every month to work on how do we grow our businesses really well? How do we honor God in it? And how do we view our business as a ministry platform to impact our city? And so they did it. And it was so productive. At the end of the year, they all went, man, our businesses are better. I've grown as a Christian. We're seeing lives changed by the gospel. This has got to grow. And so it just kind of became this thing that scaled. And then eventually the founder, I'm not the founder, he got the team together and said, is this just a cool little thing in our city, or is this meant to go to other places? And they felt that God said, this is supposed to go all around the world. And so they went, gosh, we got to figure out how to do that. So our whole idea is, how do you help a Christian CEO or business owner build a really great business that God's not glorified by poorly run companies, but do it for a greater purpose, and a purpose that actually advances the gospel? And today we get to do that in about 180 cities all over the world, 5 continents, every month serving thousands and thousands of companies who are trying to do just that. Figure out, how do you run a great company? Do it in a way that glorifies God. View business as a ministry and be discipled by God in the process. So that's kind of what we're about.
Sounds wonderful. Certainly we've had many folk on the show who've been business leaders and have struggled with those kind of issues. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they find, sadly, local churches don't acknowledge their business ministry. They're very pleased with they're giving
each month.
But they don't. It's not integrated, and they feel a little bit out on the limb. So it sounds fabulous. You said you're not the founder. You've joined as the role of CEO. So you must have heard about this. What caught your imagination to get involved?
Yeah. So ironically, about 15 years ago, a friend of mine joined. I'd never heard of the organization, and candidly, I had been a Christian in business, and everyone knew that Mike loves business, Mike loves Jesus. I didn't really find Christian business things very helpful. And so when my friend joined, he's like, hey, I'm joining this group. Mike, you should come check it out. And I said, no, I'm too busy. And one day he just kept annoying me with his pestering about joining this group. I said, if I go to one meeting, will you stop bothering me? He said, yes.
Okay.
And I said, well, why should I go? And he drew a Venn diagram. And he said, Mike, do you ever feel frustrated or dissatisfied knowing you want to honor God, have your work be worship? But what does that really mean beyond don't do bad things? Like, what is good? And what is your impact beyond just giving money at church and giving money to nonprofits, which is great? And who actually helps you as a leader? Also, be I'm a husband for 23 years. I'm a dad of two girls. Like, who helps me keep my life together? And he said, this group's about excellence in all those things. So I went to a meeting, honestly, just to check the box. And I had never seen transparency, accountability, people dealing with real issues, really rigorously challenging each other to apply God's word in business, to solve real business issues, and to demystify things. And they were getting things done. And they were deploying ministry through business in ways I'd never seen possible before. And I just was captivated by the intimacy, the realness of it, and the difference it was making. And so I joined. So I became a member. And then in our model, you have professional leaders who lead in a city. And my coach, my chair, at some point went, Mike, you love this stuff so much. Have you ever thought about doing this with me? And I said, no. He's like, well, would you pray about it? I was like, oh, darn it. Yeah, I'm sure. But I'll say no. I prayed about it. I didn't say yes, but I couldn't say no either. And I found myself about a year later becoming a full-time chair, serving CEOs like me in my city. And then about 9 years ago, the parent company was going through a succession process. And by God's grace, I got a chance to step into the role of CEO, leading the global team. So I've been a customer. I've been a regional leader. Now I'm CEO of the global organization, and I'm actually a customer again. So I'm a member of a group myself and leading the organization that supports the groups.
Sure. And when you first started, did you have to wait for a gap? You're talking about 12. If it's C12, were there 11 and there was a gap for the 12th, or how did it work? Is the 12 strict?
Yes, it is. It is fairly strict. So once a group is full, people stay in a group. They typically stay in a group for like 10 years.
Okay, right.
And you get it for a long time. Like, they don't leave. So I went and visited a group that already had 12 just to see what it was like. And then they were forming a new group that had like 7 or 8 members, and I got to have a seat at that one. So
I see. Okay.
There is oftentimes a queue of people kind of waiting, because you also can't have any competitors in a group.
Sure. And obviously there are other Christian organizations doing similar kind of things. So how does C12 differentiate in the market of Christian business executives and peer forums and leadership development?
Yeah. So our distinctives would be, we're really the only one that has this rigorous integration of getting serious about truly solving business issues. So when a CEO joins a group, our meetings are intense. It's a 7-hour meeting once a month with a full-time professional chair whose only job is to lead those meetings and coach the members between meetings. And we literally get into like MBA level equipping on how to solve business issues with an internal perspective, a big emphasis on results, a lot of real practical strategies of how to deploy ministry in the business. And there's curriculum, there's product, there's tools that truly help these businesses scale. And then because we've got the largest community in the world of Christian CEOs, our ability to collaborate together, share best practices, and support each other is just kind of unrivaled. And so we are trying to be the best in class to help a CEO, just like any secular business group would be, but then this radical commitment to faith and it being integrated into everything.
Right. So presumably that this costs those who gather. I mean, you have to
pay dues.
You pay a due of whatever it is. And obviously your job is to make sure that they get good value for money.
I would say if you know CEOs, CEOs and entrepreneurs are typically ADD a little bit. They're typically too busy. They're typically hair on fire, lots of spinning plates. You have family, you got church, you got your business, you got multiple businesses. It says something that to join a group, you have to commit to attending at least 10 out of 12 meetings every year. They're 7-hour meetings. They're all in person. These are all proximity based. So they meet in the city. And our CEOs will literally come back from vacation to not miss their meetings. will show up early, will stay late, and they stay in for 10, 20 years, and their companies pay their dues. You don't pay with your time or with your pocketbook if you're not getting value.
Sure.
But we help these businesses grow, retain their people better. And we're seeing wild impacts. You know, you're talking about how churches sometimes see us. I had a friend who wrote a book where he said, what would happen if a pastor, instead of viewing CEOs and executives as high net worth donors in their church, if you saw them as multi-site church pastors who happen to be running frontier churches that are mostly full of unchurched people, like what if you saw them as people to equip and encourage in how they do ministry in a manufacturing business or in a technology company? And that's what we're seeing happen. Like our average company will actually see more people come to Christ every year than the typical church in their city will. But we have huge opportunity.
Mm. Well, that's a wonderful mindset. I know John Maxwell, the leadership guru, said that when he ministered outside of his church setting, he was seeing more come to faith than he ever did as a pastor, because he went into the leadership development kind of world. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't surprise me, but it's great to hear. So let's talking about leadership principles, Mike. You know, it's a complex business. What are the key principles you found universally applicable, regardless of industry or business size, that you'd want to share with us?
So regardless of industry or size, every business has got to start wrestling through the question of purpose, mission, vision, values, what's your organization going to be about? And what is oftentimes holding back most businesses start with some sort of, you know, technical product, whether it's technology or healthcare, whatever your thing is, or an engineer. But as you scale that, you really got to ask the question, like, what is our business? What's the problem we're solving? Who are we trying to serve? We can't serve everybody. We can't be everything. If you try to be everything, you'll be nothing. If you try to please everyone, you'll kind of disappoint everyone. But figure out your identity as a business and actually getting committed to strategic planning, to actually planning who we're going to be, where we're going to go, what's it going to take, and how do I get everyone on board with that? So many businesses struggle and have chaos because of a lack of alignment, a lack of clarity, and not knowing how you say yes to things and no to things. And whether it's a $2 million business or a $2 billion business, is the leader's job to create clarity and alignment. And it's easy to take that for granted. And this isn't just about having, you know, catchy phrases, but literally going, you know, we're going to build a business and we're going to be about this purpose. And our goal is to create this difference in the world. And when you get clear on that, it unlocks the potential of the humans you've got working for you. It allows you to actually align investments and products to truly be excellent.
Sure. So there's a number of apparently conflicting ideas in the model, and obviously you'll resolve them, but you know, you've got profit making, you've got being mission driven, you've got the faith based side,
yeah.
And how those kind of things align, not least of course, because many of those you're working with won't be Christians themselves.
Yeah, no. So I think one of my favorite words is we're about integration versus balance. So if you try to balance making money and making a difference, we'd go, well, what if you actually make a difference in how you make the money, not just what you do with the money, but the way you make it? So I think businesses oftentimes are taught to think, if you're a Christian, you know, go run an engineering company, be moral, be virtuous. Maybe you should invite people to church and then give generously. And yes to all that, do more of that. But I think God cares about how you make the money, not just what you do with the money. And so when you bring the purpose into the actual, well, how do you hire and fire differently as a Christian? How do you compensate people differently? How do you think about quality control and operations and all those functions of a business as being areas of worship? And so if we think in the Old Testament, most of the people we think about biblically, like they ran organizations, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob were leading massive family businesses, and Daniel, Joseph were leading huge government organizations. So this is not new. It's just our modern experience of it. But getting into kings in the Old Testament were held accountable, not just for their personal devotion to God. They were judged if they were idolatrous or not, but they were also judged on, did they tear down the high places in their country? Did they address immorality, idolatry, and did they promote goodness and justice? in business, I believe we're held to the same accountability. So where is there brokenness and wickedness or corruption in our industry or business model or sector? Where is there poor quality? And how do we tear those things down and replace them with excellence as God would define it? And so I think the way we reconcile those tensions is by making every one of those decisions ones that matter to God. And then going, if we do this right, to your point, most of our employees and customers are probably not going to share our faith. And so how do you create a business that honors God and is still winsome to the Muslim, the atheist, the Buddhist, the Jew, or whatever their background may be, people who politically and lifestyle may totally disagree with our faith? I think everyone wants to work in a place where they're treated with love, respect, and dignity, where there's genuine compassion rooted in us seeing everyone made in the image of God. And what we have found is that when you do this in an integrated way, even the non-believer prefers to work for you because it truly creates the best place to work. And customers may go, I don't agree with Andy's faith, but I love his excellence and the customer service I get and the reliability of their contracts, that we can be a salt and light in the world by how we do this.
Mike, the language of business as a ministry will be familiar to some. It's been used in a missional sense in terms of cross-cultural, where Christians go to a place and set up business bless. So how would you understand that language, and how would the C12 people understand that kind of language?
Yeah, I'm really nerdy about words. So for a long time, there's been the thought of business as mission, where maybe you're going to go to Africa or an unpressed country, and you're going to set up a business as almost like the cover for you to then be able to go do missionary work. And that's cool. That's great. Mm. We use the term business as a ministry, not saying that your business should be a nonprofit or that your business should not make a profit, but believing that God actually cares about what you do, that the business itself has value. That in the garden, God created us to work and to go make and build things. That was part of the first commission. Mm. We have a great commission, but that's layered on top of the first commission. So God cares about what you do. He cares about how you do it. The way we run the business matters to God. He cares about the motive. He cares about who we're becoming. And I should believe when I start wrestling with how to honor God on a Tuesday or Wednesday in the middle of technology projects and legal meetings, it actually catalyzes my own discipleship and formation, and he cares about the impact it has. And so we believe business is a ministry platform, that the average business impacts thousands of people every year with your employees and their families, your customers, your vendors, your suppliers, your industry peers, the city you're in. All those things are arenas of impact and influence. And when they're intentionally harnessed, it can really, really change the world. So we say business as a ministry. Say, hey, it's not just do business so you can go do ministry. It's actually, how does your business be a ministry that happens to be an engineering company or a car dealership?
And so in your experience, if you've got the 12, it may be men, maybe women, I guess there's a mixture.
It's co-ed,
I'm guessing if they're running their business, will they need a Christian board, for example, or do they have a mixture? How would they impose is the wrong word, but how would they set the tone of the ministry if those around them are not necessarily believers?
A great question. So we have a huge we serve nearly 5,000 leaders every month, and everything from publicly traded companies to privately owned businesses. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if it's a small family business and maybe your whole leadership team share your faith, and that becomes very easy and bold, but maybe you're a hired CEO running a hospital where you are a bit more like Daniel in Babylon or Joseph working for Pharaoh, where you get to be bold in your leadership, but you don't just get to say, this is how it will be. And we help them walk through all that. It's why we get very systematic around how do you go back and anchor things in. What's the mission going to be? Vision, core value is going to be. How do you say, hey, I'm a believer, and thus it's important to me that I want to make sure our business operates with these standards of excellence and love and dignity. And so because of that, we're going to have these policies. Here's how I want us to handle disputes. Here's how we're going to handle these types of issues that is honoring to my faith. How you go implement that we then help them contextually deal with. And we even have a program. So we have two programs. We have a program that's just for the CEO or the entrepreneur or the president, because he or she gets to make some of those decisions. They do get to say, here's going to be our direction. Here's going to be our culture. We have a second program that's called Key Players that is for the executive teams of those organizations that just focuses on how do you help implement the CEO's vision. And that one is open to non-believers. So it actually becomes an interesting way to disciple your team by helping connect the dots of, hey, we're going to be a restaurant. We're going to make great food. But I want us to honor, I want us to have these policies and these approaches to running a restaurant that happen to come out of the fact I'm a Christian.
I saw the word missionpreneur in your literature. Can you unpack, yes. You're a great man for words. Can you unpack that word for us?
We made it up. Yeah. Okay. It's a made up word. So part of what's unique about our model, you asked earlier, like what's different about our model. One thing that's super weird about it is we have these roundtables, these forums, and we always have a professional leader of it. We call that person the C12 chair, who literally there, it's a for-profit model and it's a full-time job of that person to run multiple forums in a city and then do executive coaching with the CEOs. And those people themselves are former CEOs and entrepreneurs who then basically transfer their career into helping others be successful in this model. And as we try to find those, we have about 230 men and women who do this full-time all around the world right now. And when we were trying to market to find new leaders, like we're trying to find one in London, we're trying to find one in Hamburg, Germany right now. We're like, okay, we need someone who has been an entrepreneur, who has an entrepreneurial spirit, who loves to build things, grow things, and wants to scale things, but have to be sold out to the gospel and kingdom driven and be so mission minded that they might even be wrestling with, should I sell my business and go run a nonprofit, or should I go volunteer more at my church? And they're maybe wrestling with, but I'm a business person. So what do I do with this? And we go, we're really looking for missional entrepreneurs who'd have a passion to impact their city and their nation through business. And so we're literally about 6 years ago, we're sitting around a table going like, how do we communicate what we're looking for? We're looking for like missional entrepreneurs. And we said like missionpreneurs. And we said, is that a thing? So we actually went and trademarked it and got the word. And we found it kind of resonates with some people like, hey, if you're kind of torn between being an entrepreneur and a missionary, maybe you should put those together and do that with us.
Now, so some listening will be resonating with all that you're saying and be warming towards it. You talked about coming to the UK. At what stage are your plans? What can you share at this stage? How could people hear about it and get connected? Yeah. Is it too soon? Tell us what's next for you.
Yeah. So, surprisingly, we have hundreds of members in like Brazil, South Africa, Malaysia, Taiwan. We're actually in Ukraine. We launched in the middle of the war in Kyiv, of all places. I'm like, well, if we can launch in Kyiv in a war, surely we can launch in London. It'd be a little easier.
Yes, hopefully, right?
So we've got a growing number of people who run businesses who would like to be part of a forum in London. We're trying to find the right man or woman who God would have lead the whole team of forums in London. And so we try to put a lot of resources for free on our website to help people. So if anybody's listening and going, man, I want to kind of apply this stuff to my business today, you can go to c12forums.com and you can get articles and ebooks for free and get all sorts of resources to help you on that journey. But we've also got things around how do you become the leader to get this going. And our team is talking to people. We're about to do a webinar here at the end of July for anybody who's interested in helping launch it in London to say, hey, who do you know? This is typically going to be a business owner who's super involved in a church, loves Jesus, and has been wrestling with maybe this tension, like, God, what's the next thing I do to really impact my city, impact the country from my seat as a business owner? And maybe it's to become a chair to help reach hundreds of Christians across the UK so they can actually go on this journey themselves.
Mike, you mentioned resources on your website. Are there particular books that you found helpful or that you recommend to those in the C12 group?
I do. Yeah. We're in such a wonderful era in human history where there's so many more resources than there ever have been before. So obviously back in the day, Tim Keller wrote Every Good Endeavor, which was a masterpiece. I think more recently, Jordan Rayner's book, The Sacredness of Secular Work, is fantastic. The guy who founded C12 wrote a book called A Light Shines Bright in Babylon, and it's really meant to be a handbook for CEOs on how to view their business as a ministry and how to look from daily operations that can glorify God and impact the world for Christ. I would highly recommend both those books.
Brilliant. Thank you. Well, it's been thrilling to chat with you and exciting that this wonderful concept is hopefully heading in our direction. People listen to this around the world, but obviously we're primarily UK-based. And so great to hear. And, you know, may God bless and prosper your thinking and your approach. So thank you so much.
Thank you, Andy.
That was my conversation with Mike Sharrow, the CEO of C12. They're looking to work in the UK. He's based in San Antonio, Texas. He mentioned a website, c12forums.com, if you want to find out a bit more. They also have a general website, www.joinc12.com. Mike mentioned a number of books for Christians in business. Every Good Endeavor by Tim Keller, subtitled Connecting Your Work to God's Plan for the World. A book by Jordan Rayner, The Sacredness of Secular Work, subtitled Four Ways Your Job Matters for Eternity, Even When You're Not Sharing the Gospel. And then he mentioned a book by the founder of C12. He didn't mention his name. The name is Buck Jacobs, A Light Shines Bright in Babylon, A Handbook for Christian Business Owners. So if you're a Christian in business, a Christian leading business, then I trust this conversation has been of help and inspiration to you, whether or not this particular ministry is one that you want to connect with. What you're doing matters. It's valuable to the kingdom. God loves you. So be encouraged in your work. So this is Andy Peck thanking you for your company, hoping you'll join us again next week. Bye for now.
The Leadership Show with Andy Peck. To get in touch, email andy.peck@premier.org.uk.
Been listening to The Profile in association with Premier Christianity Magazine.